Nice to see all of you. Thank you for joining us. And thank you for all of your support, your participation, and your support of this community and this teacher and this teaching situation. Please continue to join us and help us if you can. This morning's Dharma talk is titled, Don't Step Out. So I basically, if you haven't noticed, I give the same talk over and over again. I just changed the title. But it's basically trying to encourage you to help you to work with your awareness, to encourage you to see what is in front of you, see what is showing up in your mind stream, receive what shows up here, what shows up out here, without stepping into it, without reaffirming your own position, your own idea, your own concepts, your beliefs, your opinions, your emotions. Don't believe your emotions. Don't ignore the emotions. Don't add a bunch of chemistry on top about what they are and why they're happening, who caused them. Don't do that story after story. The first story comes out, and that's bad enough, about who did it, what's happening, a description of something. And then before that one is even complete, we have another one right on top of that, and another one right on top of that, and another one. And this gives you kind of insulation from the truth. And what is the truth? You don't exist. If you think you do, you're wrong, simply put. But don't believe me. Consider it a little bit. But the main thing I'm encouraging you to do is sit down, hold still. You don't have to become a Buddhist. You don't have to join anything. It may help you to do that. It may help you to have a community. It may help you to have a particular series of texts or things that have been taught for thousands of years, to read those over and study those, not only yourself, but study them with Sangha. That's what something we do here at this monastery. So don't step out. Just it is just another way of teaching patience. Just wait. Listen to what's being said, receive, listen, and then don't step out. Don't do anything with it. It will not particularly feel good, but you will be getting closer in a relative way to the fundamental issue or the fundamental the fundamental blockage to what this actually is, this lifetime that you've been given. Most of the world just takes for granted its identity and who they are, where they're going, and what they like, what they don't like. Tie into the family, just not incorrect. Not here to correct anyone. I'm just saying, look at it yourself. Look at it closely. Look at what arises in your mind stream without accepting it, believing it, without rejecting it, disbelieving it, and without distracting yourself from it or ignoring it. Just receive it as it is, as it is. You can do that, but it may be very, very difficult to do that just with the intellect, with the thinking process. Just kind of lecturing yourself. I just have to just be with all things. I have to do this and I have to do that. That can actually add on to the circularity. Not that having some kind of a slogan or some kind of a reference point, everything is impermanent, something like that, or everything is suffering, something like that, may help you. But the fundamental area here that needs to be worked on is to receive what happens in your mind. Sit down, hold still, face the wall, and watch what comes and goes and comes and goes. It shows up, turns this way, turns that way, hangs out a bit, and then goes away. This is the way you practice, you train your mind to just take that very subtle form of movement, which are thoughts and emotions. When I say subtle, I don't mean they're intense. I'm saying they're subtle in the sense that you can't find them. And yet they have a reality that is just as real as this. which is also unreal. The very solidity of this makes it unreal. This doesn't make it real. Look close. Don't believe anything I say. Don't believe anything anybody says. Don't disbelieve anything. Look at it yourself. See it yourself. You won't need to believe in anything, Buddhism or what this person says or what anyone says. You will see this yourself. And your life will be lived fearlessly. That doesn't mean you won't have fear. Fearlessly doesn't mean it's a relative thing. So how do you say fearlessly without saying, well, there won't be any fear, but there may be fear. There may be any number of things. The fear may increase, especially if you've just spent the last 45 years covering things up. That's the only thing you've ever learned that you put into practice is how to stop looking at stuff. Stop. Just cover it up. Just yoga. You know, power of positive thinking. Power of positive, is it thinking? Who says that? Norman Vincent Peale?
Ruby.
Ruby says that. Says thinking?
Vinking.
Not going to come. So it is about the awareness. It is not about so much about what arises in it. The awareness starts to become, if your practice starts to become like, it's a conventional term, and probably should come up with some other ones, but it's like the sky. Nothing much is happening there, but you can't have clouds without a sky. And if you take away the clouds, is there a sky? Can you take away the clouds? Can you take away the feelings, emotions, memories? Can you take them away? Probably not, especially as long as there's a living form here that is acting out of what shows up in the mind stream, thoughts, emotions, memories, believing, disbelieving, shutting down, opening up, all this, the various strategies of the ego out of paranoia to protect himself, herself, themselves. How'd you get in there? How have you been, Brandon?
Well, thanks.
Good. A lot of people here. We can go further. I can continue to talk about this, but it would be good to interact with you. Have some questions if you have them. I can respond to those. Anything?
When the initial layering arises that protects us, what is it about the additional layering that continues to protect?
So the first comment, anytime anything happens, positive, negative, or all the other nuances that are combinations of that, as soon as that happens, just be aware of that. First outflow, something happens, and instead of just receiving that, just receive that. You can receive it. Receive it. But then if you make any comment on it, then it doesn't quite make it. You don't actually feel that. You don't feel the actual karma that is your business. You want to invent other business about it. But receive your life. Don't miss your life. Don't be someone else. You can't do that anyway, but don't try to avoid anything. So a sitting practice of meditation will help you, eventually will turn you towards that which you possibly can receive. So that as soon as that comes up, that first comment, if you can see that's the area where you can actually see this happens and then you add. Or you outflow, you see that and you react and say something or blame towards yourself, blame towards someone else. You actually see that. You actually witness that. It's called awareness. And it's awareness of the fundamental nature of relative truth, which it comes and goes. But if you make a comment on top of the comment, then it starts to get thicker. Then the density gets then it becomes a conclusion or an opinion or a judgment or a belief. You just believe this. So see that first situation that arises. You may see it on the cushion. You may see it when you're doing dishes. You ever do dishes? Good. I try to avoid that. Yes.
When you're bowing, so the feeling arises and we are aware of the feeling arising, and then an outflow occurs. And perhaps another outflow. Is there any way to control those outflows, Don?
The idea that you can control them is part of the issue, as if this just reinforces the self or the imaginary being that thinks he, she, they can somehow stop this or start that or fluff this up, push this down, and we'll use all kinds of ideas, formulas to do that. And it's not that some of them do not work in some way, maybe for a while. Maybe it might, the rest of your life, you can just practice this, or do some kind of cognitive behavioral therapy. I'm not against that. I'm all for it. That might be what you need to do. But if you're listening to me, then probably there's something, some kind of chemistry between this, what is being said here, and what you're receiving, or you'd never come back here. So it's about receiving that completely. If there's any kind of agenda about it, well, I'll receive it, but I this has to work. If I receive this, will that stop this other situation from happening or somehow resolve that? So I'll stop blaming this person or blaming myself more.
When you're bowing, is it possible then to be aware or have just an intense awareness as this is unfolding?
What are you asking? Or what does he want to know?
And then how will we know if we've completely received something?
You won't. But that's what the ego mind is looking for, results. I'll do this, but I need to know if this is happening. It won't. It's better than that because it's complete. It's worse than that because you don't get any credit. There's no credential. Trungpa Rinpoche gave a talk back in the early 70s called Buddha Dharma, or Awakened Truth Without Credentials. I would say without proof. It's awakening. You won't need proof. You're looking at it. You don't need to refer to something. You look at it. And also, you're no longer at war with anything, especially your own karma. Therefore, you could actually live your life fully, completely. You're not living up to somebody's standard of goodness or kindness or mindfulness or any. You're not living up to any standard. You're free of the standards, but you're in for it because you're going to live your life. Straightforward. It's like not refusing the shape of your ears. Those kinds of shapes are arising in consciousness. Those kinds of things that are dependently arisen. Two types of karma that was mentioned is the kind of karma that you receive that just shows up in your life, your skin color, your sexual orientation, and all of that just happens to show up. And then the other kind is where you're creating more of that karma. But this is the part where you actually fight with your life or with your world instead of just receiving it. Instead of just being genuine, you don't want to do that. You want to be somebody else, change your way around. And one of those, I think it's the first one, is Chisho will know the first one is prarabdha karma. That's the one that you're born with, and the sanchita karma is that what you're generating. Am I close on that?
Chishwang, yes, prarabdha karma is the one you start with, and sanchita karma is what you're willing or meaning what you produce. Wow.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. More? Questions? Yes. Isan.
So in a situation where something is said or a tone of voice or done that I receive and I feel pain and I'm upset, and I observe and I receive, then I'm in this dirt devil of pain and thoughts.
Yes.
I need to re-engage. I can't just leave.
Can't just do what?
I can't walk home from Indianapolis. I need to re-engage with this family group. But I'm hurt and upset.
What's your question?
How can I step out of that pain and re-engage with the family?
What was the talk title?
Don't step out. I know. Just walk home from Indianapolis.
Well, you have to start somewhere. And so start there. The intention is what's important, not the accomplishment. About something I've been saying for quite a while, when that kind of occurred to me, that the most important thing you can do is intend. If you start to look for results, then you make the results more important as far as the functionality. You make that situation or that success story is more about me and I'm being successful, me and I'm doing things right. Well, at least I'm following the precepts. Whereas you've broken your vows, but you might say to someone else because you did this or did that. And this is anything anyone else is doing, none of your business. This doesn't mean that you shouldn't protect someone who is starting to harm someone else. It doesn't mean you shouldn't engage in that. More?
Sambali, it seems like in a situation like that I have to cover up how I feel in order to.
No, it's the other way around.
Okay.
If you just completely feel, you won't do anything. If you're just I'm going to do something, and I want you to receive that. Receive this. You ready? Hey, receive that. Mm-hmm. Did you add anything to it? Right afterwards, did you say, "Oh, there's what's my name?" So because I'm yelling again. Any comment at all?
Yeah.
Did you immediately go to what tone, whether it was a B flat or?
No, like that? I was just. Well, at least he didn't say something mean. So that, because in the situation I'm describing, that is what happened. It was tone of voice and something that I received as mean.
So.
And it was really hard.
Yeah,
and I couldn't get myself out.
So the most important there, you can't get yourself out. You don't need to get yourself out. It feels like that. That's ego, self-centeredness, trying to get yourself. I don't know what the whole soap opera was there, what the whole play was. But all of that is unreal. And at the same time, it's unreal. It's extremely intense. I'm always using the example of a scary movie. You know it's a movie, and somehow we like to be frightened as long as we know that it's a movie. It's unreal. So that same thing is happening. A similar thing is happening in our everyday life. What is happening to you is unreal. But you can still be frightened by it. You can still have emotions about that. So the big blog jam there, as far as having that whole thing open and flow, so you can actually experience and feel your feelings. If you feel them, they don't last. They come in, they feel, and they keep on going, because there is no lockdown. Everything is just open and free. But if there is a belief in a self that feels threatened, a belief that you are somebody and you're somehow in danger, then that tightens everything up. And then there's an activity that comes out as far as the kind of karma. The karma of the lockdown, or the karma of that situation, is made worse by the other kind of karma, sanchita karma, where you're trying to manipulate, stop it. You kind of don't want that to happen. Can't do this. Can't walk. Where was it? Ann Arbor?
Indianapolis.
So are you still doing that, walking from there?
No.
There's plenty of room for questions if you have more.
The logjam, what I'm hearing is that all of the things I said to myself afterwards, all of the past memories and past hurts and past wants, those are all logs. Is that what you mean by the log?
That would be a way of talking about it, yes. And you can't get rid of that. You can't control it. It's not necessary. And it isn't even helpful to push on that at all. It is very important to receive it. In other words, feel it. In other words, think it. You don't have to stop your thoughts. You don't have to stop your emotions. Just receive them and it will not feel good. But eventually, by just receiving that without any objection, without any buildup, or later on you react because you've been storing up your aggression, if you can just receive it, let it, this is a pretty blunt thing to say, but let it kill you. You almost have to let it kill you to really see that nothing happened. This is an illusion. You are who you are. What is actually important is not threatened at all. Can't be threatened. Because who you are goes way beyond this body-mind complex, beyond this lifetime, beyond all the memories, beyond. And it's beyond knowing. You can't actually know this. If you begin to see this, the knowing is still there. You still know how to make toast, and you still know how to do very mundane things, maybe even more precisely, because you're not distracted by things. Yeah.
Thank you, Sambali. In the moment when I'm resisting, clearly, I think resisting the emotion, how can I remember there's no one here?
Well, you can remind yourself. You know, another way to do that is say, this teaching goes way back. Who is this, or who's feeling this? And then something will come back like me. And then this is the way Ramana Maharshi taught. Who is me? So you just kind of go the other way. Instead of outflowing this way, you inflow right on top of the presumption that there's a self, because there is not a self. But if you think there is, you'll torture yourself and you'll torture others. Anyone want to disagree with that? Please come ahead. And you don't deliberately hurt anybody. It's just that it looks so vivid and real that they said, did this. You've got to stop them. You've got to change. You have to do something about it. Welcome. Yes.
We hope combining in the situation of the logjam, what does intention provide us? Intention to be with all things.
To stop adding logs. Or validating the logs. It doesn't mean you don't see them. You don't see the, when they're all coming together like these fingers, doesn't mean you don't see them. But you just look at them. You just receive that log jam. No agenda around anything. Yeah, what is the agenda? If there is one, it's aware. It's like the sky looking at the clouds. Slowly the identity is changing from a particular position, a particular cloud, a particular opinion, a particularity called me and myself, my ideas and how I'm right. And oh, I might be wrong a little bit once in a while. And to see that, to actually see that that is all completely unreal, has no substance. More? Sir.
Jinsen, bowing. Is there a difference between the logs and your karma?
That's similar. We want to go too far with the images there, but it's just a way of talking about it. The stuff coming and going and coming. Everything shows up and it may be all stuck. So just look at that rather than fiddle with it or meddle, trying to get it to be different or pour things on it or paint it a different color. Anything to keep from, but receiving what that is. If you look at the sense fields, every single one of them, including the mind, receives. The sense of hearing does not produce sounds, receive sounds. The sense of feeling does not produce touch or feeling. But there's an activity of this illusion of a three-dimensional situation we're in that it seems like the interaction there is so you can actually touch something or you're doing something. That area gets more and more subtle. Just like I can create things in my mind and I can share them with you and they'll show up in your mind. I've been doing that for years. And the purple alligator in the kitchen is getting worn out, being used as a teaching that I can make stuff show up in your mind, even though it doesn't exist. But yet the way in which it exists is eternal. You can go back to that 50 years from now. If you're still here, that alligator will still be there. Because the way in which it's created in consciousness, and consciousness doesn't come and go. The things that come and go in consciousness are imputed to be impermanent. So this is why we think that things disappear. But that's a misunderstanding. What is true? Nothing really appears. It's worse than that. It's better than that. I don't believe any of this. That person.
Beyond bowing. Is there pleasure to be had in the midst of a log jam?
Yes.
Where is it?
Log jam. You like logs? I mean, check it. How about, is there certain kinds of logs you like better? Blue ones? You like pine trees with all the branches on? It might look like I'm avoiding what your question is, but I'm actually getting closer to what it is you want to know. What do you want to know?
Bien bowing, I'm thinking of pleasure and pain as duality, yeah. Not being separate. And so I'm wondering, how do we see the pleasure in the midst of a walk?
Just watch what moves without, whatever shows up, no condiments, put anything on it. But whatever shows up, and if you do happen to spontaneously add on opinions, ideas, and judgments, then immediately receive those the same way you receive weather, the same way you receive the sun coming up in the morning. You don't argue with any of that. Receive it the same way. As soon as you produce it, immediately turn it into a reception rather than more production, more production, more production, which most of the world is doing. That gets so much that this production eventually turns into Bradley fighting vehicles and weapons, so that we can control those people because they don't look right or function the way we want them to.
Bien bowing. So when you say life is suffering, is the suffering the laminations or suffering that initial texture of the log?
The suffering is if something's happening, we disagree. So to go back to the basic teaching of the Buddha, the first noble truth, life is suffering. And why? Because we don't like it. We don't like what occurs. We don't like our life. We take exception to lots of things in order to reify, establish, and support the illusion that I'm a separate person and I want it this way. Someone else wants it another way. That sounds somewhat simplistic, but if you look at it, you can see that that applies all over. Everything, just at the kitchen table, to your job situation, all kinds of very little communication happening and a lot of disagreement going on.
Bien bowing. So is suffering like just the natural state of mind, like our most human response?
Nerve endings. Pleasure and pain, not separate. Same, that which is experiencing pleasure and that which experiences pain is just consciousness. So, and if you are getting your identity from the good things that are happening, getting more of that, and getting your identity from the bad things you're trying to avoid instead of having some success here and there relatively, then that will continue to go. And it doesn't go just morning, noon, and night. It goes lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. And it's not that you're going to be born again, but consciousness just keeps coming back, looking for results, looking for something in the second noble truth. More?
Bien bowing, how do we experience the fullness?
Very good. You experience the fullness in the particularity, in the dewdrop. It's right in front of you. If you see this, you've seen everything. If you see this completely, without adding, subtracting, or dividing anything, no opinions, no ideas, no judgments, nothing, you just see this very simply, then you see the universe. You see everything. Anything that's manifested in the so-called out there and the so-called in here. You see it. It's not an experience. We look for experiences because that reinforces, reifies, establishes, and supports and nourishes an ego who is getting something and keeping something else away. Our little soap opera we have going about ourselves that probably started hundreds of years ago. More?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Mozuku.
Mozuku Bowing. What makes it so difficult to function out of what's showing up without interference from the memories that get triggered?
Just don't do anything with the memories but receive them. They were trying to stop the memory. And then sometimes when the memory comes through, then it self-validates. It's just like the flipping the pages of a book, one over after another. So did I get close to what you're looking for? Might be hard to do that, but I'm willing. You are.
Mozuku Bowing. If I don't do anything with the memory, will it fade? How would that show up differently?
Well, there's no guarantee. But if you don't do anything with the memory, then it just can't. It's because it is subject to impermanence. So it can't. It gets its persistence by being referred to and reinvented and re-remembered. Remembered. We go back and we think about it. We think about how we feel. We've been hurt. And then we use those memories to come together and reinforce that's a valid thing. And we need to do something about this. We can't let her, him, them, they do this or say that anymore. We have to interfere or stop them. Or we turn on ourselves. I have to do something. I'm a terrible person. I can't seem to train my mind. I can't see clearly. I'm a mess. I don't want to live anymore. I often talk to people that want to take that way out. It's that painful. And what do I say? Don't do that. Not a good idea. But I would not say that you can't do that. That's none of my business what you do with your life. That's very disrespectful to someone to think that you're better than them because you don't want to kill yourself. Very interesting area. And this is the area where we separate ourselves from the horrible, actual horror that's going on in the world. That doesn't mean you have to feel it and have it take you down, ruin your health, and you can't get out of bed because you're so sick about what's happening in the Gaza Strip. The Gaza Strip is here. You're going to do a 2-week solitary retreat this afternoon. So you'll be able to look at that every day. Look at this Gaza Strip and this person. Look at that consciousness without going to war, without going to peace, without taking any position. Anytime you take a position, tension, more war. That's why protesting wars is, it's just saying that somehow there's something valid about it. It creates more chaos. Is there another way? Yeah, I'm pretty biased when it comes to this. I say, look at the war here rather than the war out there. This is at war. The war in this old man that you're listening to has not stopped. I still fight with whatever this is. But it's not true. It's just war. It's just illusion. But I am not fooled by it. You don't have to improve. You don't have to get better. You just have to be with all things. Just as the vow that you've received has you. Go ahead.
That's a good vowing. If I can see the contrast between what's showing up in a memory and the memory looks much less vivid, and it seems easier to say that that's unreal. Is the reason that it persists or interferes with how I'm functioning is that a subtle way to push away the memory to say that's not what's happening?
I think this quite variable. It would depend on so many different things that it's hard to sort through that and make a solid response. So if you change the shape of your question, can probably respond in a way that might be more helpful to you.
Mozuku Bowing, this may be the very same question I asked initially, but
probably not.
what is it that makes it hard to not to function out of a memory if the memory looks like it's a sharp contrast to what's happening?
Fear. Fear. There's fear right here. I can't teach unless I'm unless I know about or experience or receive what I'm endeavoring, what I'm encouraging you to receive. I'm ready to blow my stack and throw everything across the room several times a day. Do I do that once in a while? She said, I don't know in Mandarin. That's about all I know in Mandarin. Further questions in that direction or any direction? What I'm endeavoring by talking this way, what I'm endeavoring to say is you don't have to be somebody else. All the things that arise in your mind and that arise about this or about that, you don't have to be someone else. You don't have to get rid of an ego. It's about awareness. Yes.
So, Gurin Bowing, do experienced meditators have meditations that go the way they want them to go, Bowing?
Some, probably. They're not students of mine.
So, Gurin Bowing, how do you want our meditations to go?
Exactly as it needs to go. You will know. I'm here to encourage you not to be a follower. That's probably obvious, otherwise it would be differently. I want you to see the truth yourself, no matter what that takes. And that may be very, very uncomfortable.
So, Gurin Bowing, specifically in the area where one is meditating and there is a lot of corrections and criticism around the way the meditation is going.
So, from yourself, you're meditating and thinking, oh, now I'm daydreaming and now I'm wasting my time because I'm just thinking about stupid things.
So, Gurin Bowing, yes, or maybe I'm tending toward more thinking and I should expand to more feeling or just general tweaking.
So what's the question around that? I hear you.
So, Gurin Bowing, guidance in seeing that's been happening for many, many years and not knowing.
That's just memory. You're remembering that's happened. So what's the problem?
So Gurin Bowing, is the criticism and lecturing that layers up what we are seeing stepping out?
Yes, that is a self, an imaginary person who's having that. So that you keep your the idea is to endeavor to continue to watch what moves until you see that there's no consciousness of seeing that. The consciousness only is there's no object that's being seen. That's an illusion. There is no one who is seeing anything. He, she, they are unreal. It's an illusion. This is an astonishing illusion. It's so very, very convincing. We will hurt other people to secure our entanglement with this illusion. And you're in an area where you've been meditating for 20 some years, I don't know, somewhere in that area. And you're looking for results. That's why you're here. In one way of saying it. And there may be results, but they aren't the kind that you're looking for.
So, Gurin Bowing, what are the results that I'm not looking for, Bowing?
Find out. I will tell you, but I've been telling you don't exist. And everything around here does not exist in the way we think it does. It has an existence, but it's relative and it's impermanent. It shows up, goes away. But even that is, while it's here, very convincing. If you're trapped by time and space, which the ego mind is, then you kind of lean on that. most of the world is doing that. They believe their thoughts and ideas and emotions about everything, or else they disbelieve things, another kind of structure, another kind of pushing away. And what's being said here is just receive. And see that.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's no receiver. You didn't receive anything. Nothing happened. Teaching of emptiness begins to point at that. Although it's not a fruition teaching, that's path. Shunyata. Empty. Empty of what you see, empty of what you think, empty of who you are, empty, 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 empty. And then even that is empty. Drink more champagne. No, not that much. Small sips. Or not at all. So everything you're asking about, the subtlety of that is that there's some identity, some part of consciousness, a little tiny bit of consciousness is still looking back at that situation instead of it's just the situation. You see that it's just the situation. There's no viewer. There's nothing viewed. And there's no viewing. Threefold purity is a traditional way of talking about that. Completely pure of a seer and of a seeing and of something seen. Unreal in that sense, in that way of talking about it. And that's available to you. It's available to everyone. Might just take a lot of work doing what? Watching the movement. Don't add, don't subtract, don't divide, don't stop the movement, don't start the movement, don't meddle. If you come to an understanding of this, then you might find yourself doing things that people think are meddling. But you know what you're doing. You have no doubts about anything. You've actually transcended the fundamental duality. What is that? Fundamental? What is it? Speak.
I don't know.
Life and death. We think we're alive. You're missing something. You think you're alive. You're also not here. Non-existent. Existence, non-existence. Existence, non-existence. So, but consciousness doesn't do this. But we do that because we join this, we believe in this, and then we fight with that, and then we get manipulated by this or by that, or by this or by that, and we join and we reject, and we join, get married, get divorced, get married, get divorced. At least that's been my experience. So it's about seeing. If you see it, you'll have no more questions. Don't stop. Don't step out. I just thought you were going to ask me that one question. Further comments or questions? Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Mark Bowen.
Yes, Mark.
So when we do attain that state of being with what is and acceptance and desirelessness, how do we then move forward and take action and work towards achieving certain outcomes that we might have still have preferences towards without getting caught up in it?
So it's about seeing that you're getting caught up rather than preventing it. You actually have to probably get caught up, but it's not about accepting. Accepting, rejecting, shutting down, those are the three poisons. Don't accept anything. Don't believe anything. Don't disbelieve anything. Take no position. And the process of doing that, if you have a strong meditation practice, will be slowly seeing the way in which you're spontaneously covering things up. And then over time, it seems that that just starts to drop away just through observing, just through looking at, because what is being observed and that which is doing the observing are not separate from each other. They are both consciousness only. They're sometimes referred to as perception only, that says on the banner. There's nothing being observed, and there's no observer. And to accomplish the things that you would like to accomplish, just go ahead and do that. Make a list. Get a legal pad. Write down number one, which would be what? What do you want to accomplish? Must be something there in that list.
Many things.
What's number two?
Peace.
So in order to accomplish what I'm understanding, peace, you have to look at war. You have to look at the warfare. And you can't just cover it up by protesting against it and blaming the people who are doing it. You can't do that. And can you do that? Of course, you can do whatever you want. But if you do that, you just create more polarities and more weapons get built. There's an incredible ignorance going on. It's so obvious to anyone who just looks at it, but not so obvious to people who are trying to justify it or validate it or somehow say, well, we have to do this and we have to defend this. And it's just a, I would say rat race. I like rats. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be disrespectful to rats. They're fine. They're just trying to eat and feed their kids. More?
Mark, going. What about when?
That's a good start. What about when? Like that. Wait, what about when? That would be a good talk title. You can talk about that on Friday. What about when? No, wait, you don't have to do that. Go ahead.
So what should we do when things don't work out the way that we strongly feel that they should, and we still have that desire for peace and for love, and it doesn't happen?
Yeah, I follow you completely. I think you get a lot of people agreeing with you. Probably millions of people would like that, like to just get along, raise their families, and just live an ordinary life. Of course, you want that. But the warfare and the conflict is in everyone. So it's your responsibility, mine, everyone, not to be to blame for it, but if you're responsible to just receive your life. Don't miss your life. Because if you do, then you end up having just like these laminations, one on top of another. So it's probably going to be disappointing. Might take a long time, but dedicate yourself to it. Find a way to dedicate yourself to what you just talked about. And then find a way that doesn't create further confusion, further chaos by being, and I'll say this twice, being disrespectful to the chaos. If you're disrespectful, if you think chaos is bad and needs to be covered up, that's disrespect. You're disrespecting that, and it creates further tension and polarity. But if you can just receive the chaos, just receive it. If you receive it without comment, you will not be contaminated by it. That doesn't mean it won't hurt like hell. Good luck. Good luck to you. I'm good with a further question.
Sanjay Bowen.
What's your name again?
Sanjay.
Is that it? What does that mean?
Mountain of Compassion.
Okay, good. Thank you. I hadn't forgotten. I wanted to hear you say that. Go ahead.
Aren't you going to receive the chaos anyway?
Yes. One way or another, yeah. It's coming. And so it's either going to be crammed down your throat, or it waits until you go to sleep and jumps on your bed and sticks claws in your... See if it's any signs of recognition here anywhere. Yes, I know that one. Big green monster. Yes, probably it's going to come to you in some way. You're going to be force-fed that by your karma. Needs to occur. More?
Mike Bowen. Is it the belief that it's chaos that causes the suffering?
But it's a belief in the polarity. It's a belief in the right and wrong. It's thinking that two things are separate from each other, that you can have peace without war. It's that kind of a dynamic, the basic being hoodwinked by duality, thinking that there is a right and wrong, up and down. And of course, the big one, like I was asking Socrates a few minutes ago, the main one is life and death. We really think that those are two separate things, that people who die are actually gone somewhere. The same way we think that people who are born have arrived somewhere. Nothing has happened. And as I say quite a few times, don't believe what I'm saying. Consider that. I first heard this statement by His Holiness the 16th Karmapa in 1981 when he was dying. Nothing happens.
Kelsey Bowen.
Kelsey.
What is patience without thinking or believing that we're being patient without the credential?
You won't necessarily feel like you're waiting for something. You're not waiting for something to happen. It's something else. You're actually enjoying the situation as it is, even if it's in a dentist's office. And what they call a waiting room. Been there?
Kelsey Bowen, is that still stepping out if you perceive yourself to be enjoying the patience?
The enjoyment won't have a perceiver necessarily. You're actually just enjoying it. You won't have a credential of that. And the next time you come in, if it's you feel upset or impatient, you won't add a credential onto that either. You won't do anything with it. You won't reinforce the polarity or duality trying to find a reference point that works. All reference points are just out of balance.
Kelsey Bowen, so if you're noticing that you're at ease in the patients, does that mean that's a reference point and a cover up?
Yes.
And you're in-
it is.
Being patient or?
Yeah, keep going. I'll agree with you. More about it. Got it.
Kelsey Bowen, what would be the experience of being patient without waiting, without a reference point?
Not much. There wouldn't be much happening. It might be looking at the arm of a chair and looking at the shape of that arm. Could be something that simple. Could be something about a memory of someone that you saw walking down the hallway, how their face looked. But no polarization of the whole thing, necessarily. Very simple. Yes. Sir.
Questions from YouTube.
Yes.
School String asks, Zazen can reveal everything by doing nothing. More on this, please.
I didn't say that. Oh. Who said that? Let's ask her.
School String.
But who was it that said, well, yeah, you're right, he did say that. Is it School String? Not that it makes any difference. Is it Mrs. School String? No, Mr. Spooker. Okay, back to the question. What was the question?
Zazen can reveal everything by doing nothing. More on this, please.
I didn't say that. But I can give you more on it. That's it. Reveals everything. I don't necessarily agree with that way of talking about it, but I understand what someone is endeavoring to point at. It's less is better. Just sit down, hold still, sit symmetrical, have a little bit of say-so about your sitting rather than just sit like this. Otherwise, you get that's the way your thoughts are shaped or your emotions. But sit down, present yourself to the wall. As if you were sitting in front of a king, because you are. Go to the mirror. And just receive whatever shows up there. Receive it, no matter how smelly, no matter how fragrant, no matter how threatening, no matter how reassuring. Just receive, receive, receive. It's just stuff arising in consciousness. And slowly, over time, your consciousness will change its allegiance from what arises to the space in which it occurs. It's like you're no longer a cloud. You suddenly become the entire sky. Your consciousness has become everything, and you've lost everything you ever knew. And yet everything is available precisely on the point when someone asks you something, you're able to respond to that. Or you say, I don't remember. Yes, sir.
Brian, you don't have a question.
What?
He said Udo has a question.
Did you get some help from Brian?
I guess so. You know, I was ready to let my question go, but I'll ask it.
Well, you know, when you're sitting back there behind Michelle and Shoka, and all I see is the top part of you, then you have to reach really high or just yell out. I have a question.
You know, Boeing. You were saying there's no credential and that we won't know if we're receiving. So sometimes there's a doubt that comes in that I'm not doing this correctly.
Yes.
Because I don't see anything. So yes. How do I work with that?
So if you want to go somewhere else besides that, just go to the Wakorsa. There's no one there. This is how no self shows up. There's no proof of anything. And eventually you stop looking at that as failure or success, and you say, of course, there isn't anyone that can know this. There is no self in the skandhas. Form, feeling, perception, concept, consciousness does not add up to a person. It doesn't even add up. So the very thing that you're asking a question about is what you're looking for. There isn't anyone. There is no Udao. There is no jade path. There's just this, and you're not separate from it. Go ahead, please.
You don't. So is doubt a sign that we're getting close to seeing that?
Yes, in some Zen traditions, I can't remember, it's the Rinzai, I think, developed with some particular teacher or teachers, said you need to develop or create a great doubt about everything. I remember reading that 30 or 40 years ago and trying to do that. Didn't work. I just got constipated. I would say that the doubt about everything, you don't have doubt about things anymore, because the very doubt, the idea of doubt implies there's some kind of relative security, and you don't have any doubts. You know, I can't even say that. I do say it somewhat relatively by saying I teach out of what I'm looking at. So you could say, do you have doubts? If they come, they're just doubts. But they don't, they can't, there's no place that the doubt can hang its hat. There's no hall tree. You know what a hall tree is? Ego clinging to results, clinging to Buddhism, clinging to the Bodhisattva path. It's better than that. It's worse than that. How is it better than that? You're liberated. There isn't anything else. There's just this. And you could even say forever, but that might be an overstatement. And it's worse than that, because it's whatever there is of the self-centeredness is devastated, because it's seen to be unreal. All of your thoughts and ideas, memories are there. Feel good, feel bad, but not real. Take one more question and then we can close. And I mean that, one more question, that's it. But not from you. Oh, it's on. Okay, then that's okay.
Now, Kabaling, on YouTube, we have Path, who asks, can you elaborate on the phrase, don't miss your fear?
Did I say that? Don't miss your fear. I can't elaborate. I will. I am going to elaborate on that. Here I go. Don't miss your fear. Unless you do. And if you do, then just look at it. Just observe that. The idea of fear is most people don't know they're afraid because they are successful relatively for a certain length of time covering it up, continuing to distract yourself into anything from watching sports, just nothing wrong with that, possibly playing music, just constantly playing music, some kind of hobby that that develops into just a really strong occupation, or what some people sometimes people refer to as workaholics, where they just work constantly because that way they can avoid or distract themselves from the fundamental, what is it, the classical word in the West would be existential angst, just that you're worried because you realize this is not going to last, and then you will disappear, the body will disappear, maybe everything will disappear. So I would say don't cover that up. To elaborate, I would just say acknowledge the fear that comes up, if you can see it. Sometimes we, as I was saying, we're successful at covering that up. So we don't really realize we're afraid until someone points that out or we see it ourselves.
Hi, my name is Shoka. I am a monk at Sokokoji, where I'm committed to training my mind under the guidance of my teacher, Sokuzan. We rely on your support for our programming, including a scholarship fund to cover living and tuition costs for those who are practicing full-time at the monastery. Thank you for your generosity.